for tonight. The Cheryl Reeve Show is the Lindsay Whalen Show. One of my favorite human beings is subbing in for one of my favorite human beings. It's a pretty good deal for me. Thank you so much for being here, Lindsay. It's great to see you. It's been too long. Thank you for bringing so many supporters. Thank you all for being here. We do appreciate it. This is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. I'll tell you about all that stuff later. First of all, how you doing?
I'm good. It's probably a couple years since we've seen each other.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
COVID, all that.
I guess that's...
I mean, maybe on a Zoom, but
no,
in person.
That's true.
In person, this is
that's
probably
right.
Like a couple years.
Yeah,
from like once a week
right.
For however long.
I know, and, or more.
You know, some sit-downs before the Olympics and things like that.
And chasing
that was
around
fun.
The world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the
that
time
was like
we...
2 years since we've been able to hang out.
Boy. You know, I guess my brain is just kind of shut off when it comes to
that
socializing.
I'm just that memorable that you just, you know...
No, I think I would remember. Well, let's get back to better times where I can go to your games and we can socialize a little
that
bit more.
Good.
How's the program going?
So we're in the last week of October, which is like our, you know, we're on the Cheryl Reeve Show. So it's like May of the WNBA where it's training camp. So we're nearing the end of that month. We've had now, I guess, 7 weeks since school has started. Where we've been going pretty much, you know, 7 weeks straight. End of September, we get to where we go to 20 hours a week. So we're going 20 hours a week. Most weeks, 6 days a week, sometimes five, depending on kind of how people are feeling and what we have going on. So we're kind of nearing that end point. We play, 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from tonight, we have our first regular season home game. This weekend we have an exhibition, so the page is turning towards the season, and so Sunday will be the first time since whenever it was that COVID started, since we've had fans at Williams Arena for our game this Sunday. It's been two years, 18 months, whatever it is. We have some sophomores that have been with us for essentially 2 years that have never played in front of fans. And so I think our staff, we're thrilled that they're going to have that experience of playing in front of fans, friends, family, all of those things. You know, the cardboard cutouts were great. It's a good idea. Just, you know, they didn't exactly cut it. So we're excited for that. And it's been a really good fall. It's been a really good training camp, if you will. This group is a lot of fun to be around. We've had some really good days, some really good weeks. Seen a lot of progress, so now it's time to go and play against some other people, and I know the team is really excited about that, and as well as, you know, competing on the floor academically, we've done really well, and you know, we're at that kind of midterm point of the semester too, where there's a lot going on, and we've talked a lot with our players that last year it was come to the gym and then you go home. And your class is on Zoom or Google Classrooms, whatever, right? And so now this year we're back in classes. We're back, obviously we're still practicing, back in-person classes. There's more throughout campus. You can go to football games, volleyball games, soccer matches, where there's more pulls. And so just really, you know, continuing to be mindful of that, I think, is really big for us. But it's been, like I said, it's a fun group to be around. We'll be battle-tested, no doubt. We have a very hard non-conference schedule, but I'm excited about this group and what we're doing.
If you had to play key games during your career in front of empty stands, would have it affected you, or how would it have affected you?
It's hard to say, because especially when you're at home, it's such a factor when you get going. You know, whether it's the NCAA tournament games at Williams Arena, Big Ten games or finals, whether it was in Connecticut or with the Lynx, there's something to that where there's just a little bit of extra that just, you know, like last year just wasn't there. So it's hard to say. I'm glad I never had to experience it as a player, and I'm thankful that we get things back to closer to normal for this year for us to have that full experience.
You know, as someone who goes to all the games professionally, I don't go to a ton of games as a fan, and probably one of my best fan experiences was taking my daughters to Williams Arena to see big games during your last 2 years there. That was just a blast. So I'm hoping we get back to those kind of crowds.
I agree. Me too. And it's something that we, you know, are working towards and been working for since we got here, for all the, you know, the times in practice and the years of just, you know, building. Then last year obviously was, you know, was tough, but there's nothing
like
it.
Yeah, and by the way, I wasn't trying to say that you hadn't gotten there. I just mean that having the fan experience for a big time basketball game is just a blast.
And at Williams Arena, like you said, yeah. There's nothing like it. Whether it's some of those games, Penn State, Iowa, those are some great ones back in the day. Purdue, just to have that back, to have that for our student athletes is gonna be really cool. That's for sure.
Yeah, we are live at Pizza Luce downtown. We're doing a lot of live shows at the Pizza Luce's around town these days. We've been doing Chin Music at the Eden Prairie Pizza Luce. You know where the downtown location is. It's right by Target. Failed right by Target Center. Great place to come before games, after games. They're also hiring and offering signing bonuses to people who hire on with them right now. Great pizza, great salad, great stuff to drink. Thank you all for being here tonight. We do have a microphone there. If any of you would like to ask Lindsay a question, feel free. We're also going to have Carly up later. And just feel invited to come up and ask a question at any point. This is a loose show. You don't feel bad about interrupting us. Thank you also to Glory Ramsey for coming out. She helps promote the network and the show. We always appreciate her support, along with Rudy Luther Toyota, All Energy Solar, my realtor, Cara Quinn, and Glory's operation, Successful Marketing Group, successfulmarketinggroup.com. I want to thank two key members of the Talk North organization, Brandon Morton, who's producing this show, produces almost all the shows, has produced pretty much every show we've ever done, and Karen Cleary, our longtime sales executive. So, what is coaching like? Because you had not coached before you took this job. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to step in and learn how to be a head coach while you're being a head coach?
You're always learning, that's for sure. I think there's a lot of lessons. Thankfully, I had a lot of great coaches throughout my career. One of them who's here today, Coach T. Big round of applause for Coach T. I was fortunate to play for the best, and so I got to learn from my. I had three coaches in my college career. It's funny. I had three coaches in my college career, and then I had, let's say, three coaches if you include national team with Gino, with Coach T and Cheryl. So three during my 4 years at the U. And then I have three my whole professional career, but I got to learn from the best. And so there's things that I take from all of my coaches that I implement into like my style. And you make it your own style. But there's certain things that you take from everybody that's kind of molded you. And so even some of my overseas coaches and overseas drills and things like that, there's certain aspects of that as well that kind of help you, and you go back to different times as a player and lean on that. And so I transitioned really quick. I was playing and coaching at the same time, and now I'm just you know, on a different seat in the bus than when I was playing. And but you're like, every day you go to the gym, it's a great day no matter what. Do we get to go to the gym, even the days where, you know, it didn't go your way, or could have been better. You're still like breaking down film and just helping players to get better. And I think the really cool thing about coaching in college is you're a part of young women's lives. It's such a fun time of life. You know, you're just graduated high school. You're in college. You have your whole life in front of you. And so I think that keeps you optimistic and keeps you really grounded a lot of times, but they're at such fun points of their lives that it's so fun to be a part of that and a part of their journey. So it's been a lot of fun. It's just like through the ups and downs and all that, there's still like every day you get to go to the gym is a day that I look forward to. So it's been a fun ride so far.
One thing Cheryl Reeves always described to me is that, you know, as a player, and sometimes even a little bit as an assistant coach, you do your work, you go home. Head coach, you never really leave it behind. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, you know, you try to find your pockets and things, and took the dogs for a 2-mile walk today, so got out, got some fresh air, and I think I had like 10 things. I texted Carly or Shimmy or Kelly right after. Because yeah, it's just, but it's what it is. You know, it's just a part of you, and it's a part of, you have to take time to shut it off at times. But it's what we love to do. It's, we love to be in the gym, and how can we, we're competitive, so how can we win, and how can we continue to develop our players? So, yeah, it's not something that you, when you love to do it, you don't really ever want to necessarily like turn it off. You know, you're watching, there's, you know, I think a doubleheader tonight, NBA wise. And I know there's a huge women's soccer game too. So I'm going to go with the split screen at home and watch, but you never know if you pick up a play that might be really good for your team or a defense, you know, concept that might work. And so, yeah, it's when you're doing that, you watch a game, an NBA game or a WNBA game, and you can call it work. That's pretty cool. So, yeah. Do you watch the finals?
The
WNBA finals?
Oh, yeah.
You watched them?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, you know, I was watching Chicago early in the season, and I even had this conversation with Cheryl a few times. Like, man, if they get healthy, I mean, we know James can coach, and you know Parker's great, and they have the great backcourt, and Vandersloot's exceptional, and Copper seemed to be coming. It was like, I kept on thinking, God, they could be really problematic. Yeah. And it was, I'd look in the standings and go, yeah, maybe they're not a threat. But I watched them a couple times late in the season. I'm like, God, the Lynx got a really bad draw here.
Yeah, yeah. That was a tough one. I was at that game.
Really?
Were you at that game?
Yes.
Yeah, I was at that game, and you could kind of just see it was, it was an afternoon game. It just wasn't.
It was fun.
It was just, yeah, it was really, it was strange. And
and it was also, you know, the Vikings were playing right down the street. The Twins were playing right next door. And it just felt like it was just another game when it should have felt like a playoff game.
Well, and that's where I think we have to move to, where it's a series. You know, I thought about this before, and not just for this particular time, 3 and 4, but that's a tough one. When you, I mean, I think the Lynx went 22-6 after they started 0-4.
Yep.
So you go 22-6 and you get a one game, you get a one game deal, and that's why it was just like so. And you, if you look at the, you know, Chicago is an exception, but you look at the teams who have won over the last bunch of years since they've changed the format, you know, Lynx, Mystics, Seattle. When you get that double bye, it's so big, especially with the overseas thing too. People are playing, you know, year round, so it's like I said, Chicago is kind of the exception to everything you talk about, because you know, as coaches, and I remember playing for all my coaches, and it was, you're always kind of told, well, you can't just turn it on at playoff time. It's what you're doing all year. And we tell our players this. I learned this quote from the program, who's a really great group of team consultants and things, ex-Navy SEALs, and kind of they come in and work with your team. You don't rise to the occasion. You fall back on your preparation. And so Chicago's 500 in the regular season, and then you just kind of tear. I mean, not necessarily just tear through everybody, but they looked really good start to finish in the playoffs. So they were kind of the exception, whereas like you're building this foundation all year, and then you might have a really talented team, and it's hard. You're taught you can't flip the switch. And like you said, when they were healthy, maybe if it was even 10 games this year, they had that healthy group. They knew they could rely on that. So maybe that's what it was, and then they get to the playoffs, and obviously they look great in person against the Lynx that day. Azaree Stevens, I thought she had a really, really good playoffs. So that game for sure, she had a couple huge O-boards, against us. But I just thought overall, too, as far as, you know, women's basketball and the level that those series were played at was really fun to see. Really some cool matchups and some fun. They were competing, and it was a lot of fun to see. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Cheryl is a purist, so she doesn't always agree with me when I say things like this. But I thought the fact that Parker is just such a big personality, and Taurasi is such a big personality, and they did it in Chicago. You know, I think personalities sell. That's what the NBA sells all the time. Stars with big personalities. The WNBA has plenty of that, and he had two great ones on display. The basketball was great. I love the Chicago's ball movement in particular.
Well, yeah. You have exceptional.
Yeah.
You know, you have, you know, one of the greatest point guards ever.
Yep.
We won't do the list right now. She's got a couple rings to go, but she's pretty good. She's pretty good. We won't exactly rank them right now, but she's pretty good.
So
yeah, she's really good.
Number
she's
two.
Really good. So she's I don't want to get into that. We can't get into that.
Somebody come and ask her who the greatest point guard of all time is.
Huh? No, we all know who number one is. Yep. Hopefully, she plays her 19th year. She's pretty good.
Sue Bird, and I was going to ask you about Sue Bird because Sue Bird was great last night. And
actually, I have one more thing.
Yes.
So, Coach T, so the game four, Chicago, down 14 in the third quarter. Did it remind you of your game five when you won? Because you're down, but you had a feel that you were going to win. So, yeah. So you guys were in that third quarter against Connecticut down 10. And I liked how you guys were playing too. He was the most calm he's ever been in a game five down 10 in the third quarter because he knew just how they were playing, knew they were going to win. So I'm just thinking that to Chicago because I'm like, they're down 14. But then it was just like, all of a sudden, it's like they just, you know, hung in. Phoenix misses some layups. You know, maybe there's a little contact on some, but it's finals. It's the finals. You got to make those. And so anyway, it just reminded me of that. It's like when teams have it, they just, when they're on that run, and then Chicago has the motivation that they'd never, I mean, Candace had won, and I think that was it from that roster that had won a championship.
So.
Candace had won, and obviously right down the street here in 2016. You know, for that one, it was like Sloot, Quigs, you know, Copper, Stevens, Steph, none of those guys had ever won before. Now, they got to there in 2014 and lost to Phoenix. And so just not ever having that, there's just something that you can't make that up, that motivation. You can't duplicate it. Even when you go, every year we'd come back. I mean, for the whole decade, we tried to repeat every single season, and you can't duplicate that kind of motivation, that desperation when you haven't won. And they had that. So obviously, Diana has won. And Brittany Griner has won. You know, those are kind of the two big ones from that, you know, from the team in 2014. So I just think, yeah, Chicago they just had it. They got on a run. How about Stephanie Dolson's summer?
Yeah.
Win the 3-on-3.
Yep.
So she's the only one that won a gold medal and a WNBA championship in one summer. So she wins the 3-on-3 because there was no other Olympian, I don't think, on Chicago on the – you know, the 12-person
roster. No, you're right.
Because
Candace didn't make it. That's right.
Right. So you talk about Steph Dolson, who is out here, set, you know, just playing her role, great passer, great screener, can shoot it, had two huge finishes in that last minute, too, down the paint. And I just am like, oh, what a summer for her to win the gold in the first ever 3-on-3 and then to win the WNBA championship. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to cover the 3-on-3 in Tokyo.
What'd you think of that? It's wild, isn't it?
I liked it because...
Oh, yes. Well, you got to come to the mic.
By the way, we have
Coach T drafted Steph
special
Dolson.
Guests, Mike Tebow, the great WNBA coach. His daughter, Carly,
all-time winningest coach in
WNBA. And Carly, his daughter, is an assistant.
She's coming up here in a little bit.
Yes, she is.
Carly's coming up here in a little bit. She's got a big... Yeah,
anytime she wants. We have some stuff we want to talk to her about.
She's finishing her salad right now, but then we'll have her...
It's no rush. No rush for either of you, but whenever either of you want to pop up,
Carly's got a big event this weekend.
Yes, and she's going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, she's going to tell us all about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great.
So I liked 3-on-3 because it reminded, you know, I was never a very good basketball player, but I loved playing pickup ball.
Me either. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have so much in common. But that's what I loved about pickup basketball is just...
You could just foul people and they were going to call it.
Yes, that.
Because that's what 3-on-3 was. So
oh,
I
was physical.
I went
it was
out
really
and,
physical.
Yeah, I'm on the selection committee for USA Basketball
oh,
for 3-on-3
cool.
for a lot of years to come now. And so I went out in, what was that? Remember when that was, Carly? Was that in June when I was out? Or was it May? There was a 3-on-3 tournament in Springfield at the Basketball Hall of Fame. It was really, really cool. And there was a you know bunch of teams that came in and played. And so this first time I ever saw 3-on-3. And there's no hiding in 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And it's one quarter of just intense. I mean, you got to be in great shape, too. Yeah. So, but they do not call any fouls.
No,
I mean, we think
so
it's physical
true.
At times in 5-on-5, and there's nobody calling any fouls in that. You got to really take it hard in the paint in 3-on-3, which is great, and it's fast-paced, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seemed like almost invented for Kelsey Plum, you know, just physical, quick.
Yep, her, Alicia Gray.
Shoot it. Yeah,
Alicia was Gray, great. You know. So, yeah, we're going to do some of that tomorrow in workouts tomorrow morning. We're going to do a lot of 3-on-3 breakdown. We have, like, a weights and individual day tomorrow, so we're going to do a lot of 3-on-3 of our actions that we do. We're going to play a lot of 3-on-3 tomorrow, a lot of breakdown stuff. So it should be fun. I think the players will look forward to it.
You mentioned Gino earlier.
Hey.
You did have a chance to be in the Olympics with Gino. You're around Gino, Cheryl, Taurasi, Bird. What was that like? I mean, I know I've talked to you about it before, but I never get tired of hearing about those people.
You know, I think being around Sue and Diana, I tried to watch as much as I could when I made the team. Actually, backtrack. It was 2008, and I was at a USA basketball camp, and I had injured my eye, and I wasn't in the actual practices, but I was just there. And then the team was taking off to go. This was kind of the start of like Gino taking over USAB, and so that was the first time I'd kind of seen, you know, how he kind of operated and what were his like non-negotiables and what he really valued, and so. Everybody came to the circle, you know, jerseys tucked in, shoes tied, everybody ready to go. And if you weren't, you know, you weren't going to be at camp much longer, I'll tell you that. And these were pros, some of the best of the best. And then fast forward 2 years in 2010, I make the 2010 team, the world championship team. And so this is the year that Seattle won, they won the championship that year. So Sue and like Swing Cash, they came a little late. I'm trying to think who else made the playoffs that year that kind of came in a little bit late. But once, you know, once they got there, you can, and just kind of watching how Sue and Diana just carried themselves, you know. And then it just was, it was interesting to see, because there's just a difference of how, when you're a champion, like how you carry yourself and how you're going to get to be a champion again. And so they just kind of had it because, you know, they won in college. At that point, they had each one in the WNBA. And so just trying to watch kind of how they went about their business, going into shoot around, going into practices, leaving practice, getting on the bus, all those things. And there's a lot of expectations. You know, they're the starting backcourt of the USA basketball team. We win in 2010, and then WNBA, we win in 2011. And I remember I was named to the 2012 team, that like that WNBA offseason, I was in Prague playing overseas. And so we win in 2010, sorry. We win in 2010 is USA basketball, 2011 is WNBA. And all of a sudden I've got, you know, you have a bigger target on your back, and now there's more expectations. And I just remember coming to training camp, and I was named to the Olympic team, and I was thinking about all these other things and this and that. And I remember I had a terrible training camp and a couple of really bad preseason exhibition games. And that's where Cheryl kind of, you know, she brought me in and was, you know, kind of just talked about how I was always the underdog my whole life. You know, never went to state in high school. AAU, finished second in state. Went to the Final Four, didn't win. First two finals in Connecticut, we made it, but didn't. So I was always the underdog in my whole life. You know, keep fighting, and now you win. How do you keep that same mentality, but you've won? You know, of like, you just as always, I'd never won, so I'm scratching and clawing and fighting for everything. Well, now you've won, so but now what? And so learning from Sue and Diana after how to carry yourself in that manner like a champion every day, and this is just how you go about it, and there's a lot of expectations, but just kind of watching them and kind of learning from them. And then, of course, we win in 2012, and I feel like I had more of an impact on that team than I did in 2010. So I kind of feel like I kind of worked through it, and then it just kind of became, I don't know, just kind of how I hope I carried myself as I played, and you know, carry myself now is just this is kind of what it is, and you know, kind of carrying that weight, but it's also like a badge of honor and carrying that confidence as well.
It also seems like Sue Bird handles everything she deals with just with so much class, so much professionalism.
Yeah, she's special, and there's no doubt. I mean, yeah, she she was on with, you know, no offense to you guys, but she was on with the Mannings last
night.
Yeah,
that's
a
little bit of an upgrade. Yeah.
So I mean, sorry,
Brandon,
Jim.
He's kind of like Eli.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe Cooper.
Peyton.
Maybe Cooper.
But yeah, and she does let's play hockey for the Kraken. You know, she does that the other night. So she's she's not. Every time I text her, she always responds. She's not too busy to respond to a text. And she's probably the one from that national team that I probably kept in the most close contact with. So, she's awesome. She's awesome. What she's done to stay in shape and keep her body at this level is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I tried for a while, and that's why I say now I'm coaching and it's got a different seat in the bus.
While we're talking about memories, one of the coolest things I was able to do.
A trip down memory lane.
We're going to stay.
Remember after our first championship?
That's what I was going
to
say.
You were the first person that I talked to, yeah.
And, you know, I really wish.
I always remember that conversation.
Yeah, I really wish my newspaper sent me to all your finals. But in that case, it was your first year back, your first championship.
2011 in Atlanta.
Yeah. You guys swept, and it was so obvious from the first game that you were the better team, you're going to win it. So
what? We were down at half every game.
But you could tell. I mean, just the way you guys are methodical. At least I remember writing
after game one. Simone
was great.
Yeah, she was.
And Maya was hard to guard. And everything. Yeah. You guys are deep. And
yeah, Moan was the reason we won that one.
She had a great series.
She's one of the reasons we won all of them. But that series was...
She was the star, no question.
She was unbelievable, yeah.
But yeah, I remember that conversation, talking to you afterward, and just, you know, you at the U, you were very friendly, but you were also very reserved and cautious. You came back, and you kind of had to loosen up. And I'd never seen you quite like that, though.
Mm.
There was a little champagne going on, I think.
Might have been. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I had no idea what to do. I mean, we you know, come in, and it's like... Now what? I don't know. We won. And then next thing you know, you're just like got champagne in your eyes and this and that. And it's like, that was pretty nuts. You know, the teams now, here's the thing too. So I never wanted to show up to a finals game where you could win the championship and have those goggles. Because I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
Now they all do the ski goggles or the sky. What are they called?
Ski goggles.
I was like, nope, hopefully we win, so the champagne is going to burn in my eyes. But now everybody's got all these things on, and I'm like, I just never wanted to show up because I didn't want to assume we were going to win.
Right.
Can't count your eggs before they're scrambled, you know?
I think that's the same. Yeah, we're going to go with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, though. I remember, because, yeah, we had been on, there were so many, like, big moments you'd covered and been at, and... We broke through and won, and even that year, just as we were kind of ascending in the Western Conference at the time, to actually break through and just be like, wow, that just happened. It was like, it's just, you know, you think like there's such surreal moments of your life when you actually break through and win, and that's like your first, you know, that win and that one, the first one, and then probably like the last in 2017, just because so much went into that. It was like a year of... You know, in 2016, if we win, we go back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're kind of like, so we would have won 11, 13, 15, 16. Then you're kind of like, well, we went back-to-back. Like, what? Well, I guess a three-peat, but what's that? What's next? And we lose. And I remember, like, I don't even think we did, every year, like, Cheryl would do exit interviews and things. I don't even think we did them. I think everybody was just so depressed, to be honest with you. Like, I remember me and Maya... We went and had dinner down the street at a nice place up over here, and we kind of just it was like a therapy session. It was like three nights after we lost, and after that I didn't really leave my house for like a month. I couldn't watch sports. It was the year that the Cubs won.
Yeah.
And I finally was like, I think it was Game 7. Did they go to 7 games?
Yep.
I finally, because I was like, okay, this is historic. I'm gonna watch this, but I felt like I was gonna throw up the whole time. I felt sick to my stomach. to lose a championship on a buzzer beater, and then I have it to win it, miss, wide left, you know, Minnesota glory. And all my Minnesota glory, I go wide left for the loss.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. Oh, my God.
But so then once we kind of picked ourselves up off the mat, we kind of all banded together again. And I remember me and Maya went and trained, in Florida together for a week. Went and trained in Florida. Before that, me and Becky were training here. She was kind of starting to get, off the court stuff going here. And then Becky got a contract overseas. Moan was doing. Moan, I think, was back in Louisiana, or she might have still been overseas for like one more year. And then Syl was still overseas doing her thing. But we all kind of like banded back together and started working out around Thanksgiving. So it was like a process from Thanksgiving. So November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. I think the finals were in September. No, the finals, the game five was October 4th because it's my sister's birthday. I always tried to plan that big events for me on other people's birthdays and things. And so it's kind of like you go from letting yourself feel terrible about that loss. And I tell my players now, I say, don't be like me. I'm in the video standing there watching. You know, blocking out Essence Carson, who was near the three-point line. What is she going to do? I should have just ran in there and at least deflected it away from NECA. Stand there and watch the championship get lost. Don't be me, you know? And so, go rebound, right? And, I was mad too that game. But after we dusted ourselves off and got back together, then it was like, we get to game five and it's like, well, we can't lose this twice to them, and we didn't. But and then so that was like the next one. That was just like, oh my God, this is just like a lifetime goes into it, but a full year of just like thinking about this one game to beat them, and it came down to that. And
it's such a great series.
And we won. It was a great series. Yep. All right. They almost had us in game four. Yeah. Out there, had us in game three.
And that's where terrible. I look at coaches in your sport and great players in your sport. My God, it's like any little thing can beat you. Like you said, one missed blockout, one tip pass, anything can beat you.
Yep. Missed shot clock violation.
Yeah. All right.
But, it wasn't meant. We had several times where we could have put them away, and we didn't. So we didn't deserve that one. That's what it is. Basketball is like the ultimate karma game. You get what you put in, ball don't lie. Yeah. You get what you put in, and the game knows. Somehow it knows. Like when you don't close out hard, or you don't box out, good things aren't necessarily done. They're definitely not going to happen for you offensively. But when you do everything and dot all the I's and cross all your T's, then usually good things happen.
Let me do a little business here, then let's have Carly come up if she would join us. I want to let you know that we appreciate our sponsors who help us keep growing the network. We have tons of good sports content, tons of outdoor content, some specialty shows. We're going to add a couple big names to the network here in the next month. We want to thank Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
And also would like to thank All Energy Solar. Summer goes by faster than you expect, as you know. Before you know it, construction and solar installation season is over. Get on the calendar with All Energy Solar and get your energy efficient system installed to take advantage of 2021 solar incentives. Going with All Energy Solar means no more renting your power from the utility company. You'll be in control of your energy costs and will save lots of money. So stop renting your power. Go green with All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com. Also like to tell you about my realtor, Cara Quinn. You can find her at Cara Quinn Realtor. You can also find her at Vibe Realty. She's about all the right things. She's also great at her job. We are using her now. She helped us find a piece of land we didn't know existed. She's also an interior decorator. She and her husband have interior decorating, so she has a great eye. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, and she has helped me a lot. She and my wife talk about this stuff. I don't know what they're talking about, but they're doing a good job. But she's a great human being, great person to deal with, someone I trust implicitly. And that's who you want to deal with when you're making a life-changing decision. Check her out at CaraQuinnRealtor.com. And, of course, we want to thank Lori Ramsey of Successful Marketing Group, SuccessfulMarketingGroup.com. She helps promote women's sports. She helps promote all the right things. She helps promote the Cheryl Reeve Show. She's here tonight. Thank you so much, Lori. We do appreciate it. Why don't you introduce your special guest here?
She usually likes my tweets, too.
But who doesn't like your tweets, though? Everybody loves your tweets, Lindsay.
I don't know about that. I got to get my followers up.
I was actually going to ask a question to you about
is the housing market still, like, you know, you put a house
it's
on
crazy.
For like 36 seconds and it's gone?
It's absolutely bonkers. In fact, we started, so my wife was looking, working like north of the cities. We really missed being close to the city. She got a job closer to the city so we can live close to the cities, not that far from the U, so it'll be an easy commute to your games. And we were looking around, we're like, my God, everything's twice as expensive as we thought it would be. Literally twice as expensive. And that's when Cara was like, well, like, no, a piece of land, and you might be able to get a better house. And
oh,
like,
that was a good
we had
idea.
No idea. Yeah. We had no idea. And so we're going to build a house, which means my wife's going to be happy, and it means I can just stay completely out of the process where I belong. And so the housing market is bonkers, but we're pretty happy with where we ended up.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Speaking of happy, is your mic on?
Is my mic on?
Your mic
yeah,
is on.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. She's good. So
introduce Carly, please.
So me and Carly have known each other for...
going on 18 years, I think.
18 wow. years.
How'd you guys meet?
18 years in Connecticut. So Carly, I think probably at your parents' house playing Jenga or playing PlayStation or something like that. Hanging out. I was the year I had. Well, actually, so 2004 I get drafted, and then 2006 I have ankle surgery. I basically moved in to the Tebow household and hung out. So I went to most of your games that year, your high school games, and she was just awesome. Working with the team and making sure at that time we had everything we needed, and she's still now making sure that we all have everything we need. So Carly Tebow Dudonis.
And I always joke that she was my dad's favorite daughter at that time in life because she was getting him 15 and 5 most nights, and I was not.
Not true.
Was she a good house guest?
Oh, yeah, she was great. She was like the older sibling that that seemed like she just had always been there. So equally as competitive. Fit right in. I think she was in a lot of my high school homecoming photos.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good memories in that house.
That was such a great house. I love that house. Yeah, so we'd go that year. We'd go. It was either Carly's games or Eric's games, and then it was like pizza or Chinese food back at the mm-hmm. Tebow household to kind of rehash things. It was awesome. It was other than having ankle surgery, it was good. But no. Obviously, Carly's awesome. Such a good coach. We're lucky to have her. And you know, we know she's had a ton of success everywhere she's been, and been in two championship games with Mississippi State. And so we're just working every day to have those memories created here at the U of M. And she's great. She works a lot with our guards. She's a great recruiter. She's great defensive mind, and just she does so much for our program. She's been unbelievable. So, and she you know, enjoys you know, coming out for a nice salad and a nice evening out in the town.
I'm just here for the salad and pizza.
She's here for the salad and za.
Well, we do appreciate you coming out tonight.
No,
thank you
for having me.
What was the conversation like when Lindsay called you about the job?
When do I start? No, I mean, I'm really excited that I've been a part of this and love working for Lindsay. You know, great basketball mind, but an even better person. And, you know, for me, I thought it was a great next step as far as wanted to come build something special here with Lindsay. I've seen it done. You know, I was going into high school when she did it as a player here. And so, you know, you can do it and you can build it. And if you build it, people will come. And there's a lot of great talent in the area, and just really wanted to build something special with people that you love and care about. And so it's been the best move I've ever made. My husband and I love it here and love the family that we've built within our program as well.
How's Blake doing?
He's good. He's got late practice tonight. Otherwise, he'd be here for the pizza and salad, too.
He usually doesn't turn down pizza.
No, he does not.
And tell me about College Football for a Cure.
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, we're looking forward to this Saturday. We are hosting a watch party at Huntington Bank in the M Club room. And it's for cystic fibrosis, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. It's a cause that's near and dear to our family's hearts. My dad lost 5 brothers and sisters growing up to cystic fibrosis. And it's, you know, it's just a disease that really affects your lungs and some other respiratory parts of your body. And they're working towards a cure. And so we are hosting a watch party. It's $50 a ticket. You get food, you know, all you can drink soda, and then two drink tickets as well. And then an open cash bar after that with your $50. And there'll be an awesome silent auction, some raffle items, some fun things going on as well. There's some really cool auction items that that'll be really neat. So everyone is welcome. It'll be a really neat event if you just want to watch the game with some folks or be a part of a really cool cause.
And what's the best way they can reach you or reach someone who can help them with this?
Yeah, so if you go to any of my social media pages, at CTBOW, the link is on all of my bios on my Instagram and Twitter, and can click the link and buy tickets there.
You should retweet it.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I will again. But right. Yes, I definitely have. I think it's a great cause. I appreciate you doing it. So you don't have any, like, funny or, you know, good stories about Lindsay you want to share at this particular moment?
Oh, man.
I mean, you got to have a little dirt, right?
Where do I start, you know? I think that's one of the things that I love so much about working with Lindsay and working with our staff is that every single day is filled with some laughter. Even on the tough days, we find ways to still enjoy each other and enjoy what we're doing and enjoy the process. But we definitely don't fall short in laughs. I think, you know, looking back to those early days in Connecticut, some of my favorite, one of my funniest memories, I think, is when we were playing, I think, backyard volleyball at a team picnic. And Coach Way is a big family person. We're all, obviously, basketball is a family thing for us. And so I think we were having some type of cookout or something at our house, and the whole Whalen family was in from Minnesota. And so we were playing some backyard volleyball. And, you know, if you put a ball involved in anything with the Whalens and the Tebows, it's going to get competitive. And I think at one point, Coach Way body slammed her youngest brother to get to a ball and save it and keep it in play. So that, you know, that just tells you everything you need to know right there about Coach Way and her competitiveness. But there was a full body slam of a younger brother in the moment. And, you know, that's why I love her.
Well, let's hope he learned something from that.
He did. He learned to hustle, move your feet. That was my whole family came out, and there's a lot of us. So yeah, it definitely was a lot of fun.
Love a good visit out from the Whalen fam.
Yeah, yeah, and they cherished the times coming out to Connecticut and seeing, you know, different part of the country, and you know, we like to eat, so you know, seafood is good and hot lobster rolls and all that stuff. So. Some good times, that's for sure.
Love the Whalen fam, and they've taken me in here as well, so love that. Love the whole fam.
Why don't both of you tell me about your roster and your expectations for this year? What are your strengths?
So, returning, you know, a lot of returners, 12 of 13, you know, from last year's team. You know, 4 newcomers, if you consider, you know, Katie, who played last year as a high school senior. We have 12 of 13 back, so we have some really good continuity, some really good familiarity. That's a good one.
Close enough.
With our system and what we're doing, both offensively and defensively. So we have a group that you know, has been fun to watch go from recruiting them as seniors in high school to now they're juniors in college as far as our junior class, and then Diva's been with us for all 4 years that we've been here. So we have some really good continuity with our roster and a couple of really young, talented players as well. So, you know, right now, you know, two players who are seeing some really valuable time in practice have been a couple of our grad transfers as well, and Deja Winters and Bailey Helgren, who's Deja's from originally from Cleveland, played at North Carolina A&T for her undergrad. Now she's come here, was an all-conference player in that conference, and big goal of hers is to continue to play basketball after this year professionally. And so to come and play in the Big Ten is something that she really wanted to do. And then Bailey gets to come home for a year. You know, she's from Edina, goes to Kansas for her undergrad, and now she's here on our team. So those two add some real veteran experience and depth for us. So, so yeah, it's I don't know. It's a fun group. Like I said, it's a fun group to be around, and you know, back to work tomorrow. But did I miss anything?
No, I would just, you know, add on that the, like you said, the depth is something that we haven't seen since we've been here, especially at the five spot, at the five position. We haven't had depth at that position, and we haven't had necessarily depth at that kind of three spot. So we've added that, and I think that'll allow us to kind of continue to grow in ways that we want to grow.
And Carly, growing up in a coaching family, when did you realize you wanted to coach?
I don't think I ever realized when I didn't want to coach. I think I've always wanted to coach. Yeah, I think I started kind of in a psychology major in college, thinking I would kind of go the sports psych route if for some reason coaching didn't work out. But I think that's kind of what I've always known. Once I realized that I was going to be done growing at 5'4" and never really be that athletic, that I probably should, you know, find something to do after playing. And that was that.
She's not giving herself enough credit. She, you haven't been out there as much this year because we
Hallelujah.
Have. But you, no, she's good. Let me tell you, she's good. So she played a lot last year, and for sure our first 2 years, she would get out there and great shooter, hustle. I mean, can handle it, smart, great communicator. She's a very good player, very good basketball player. So she's not giving herself enough credit. She's a great shooter.
But my body is very thankful that I'm not doing that every day anymore.
And we're happy that she doesn't have to practice as much as well.
I used to love playing pickup ball, and they got to a certain age, and it was just ankle sprains and turnovers.
Yeah, that was me sometimes too.
You know, shoot arounds in Penn State, they'll get you.
It was a mistake to wear running shoes.
Oh, that is the worst.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I still remember that. That was so bad. Oh.
My left ankle will never be the same.
I know.
I've had that experience. So while I have both of you here, one thing Cheryl and I talk about a lot about is the state of women's sports, progress in women's sports, as well as, you know, progress in society and everything else. NWSL just are building their first stadium in Kansas City. We are seeing progress on certain fronts. WNBA ratings are up. The quality of the game is fantastic. I think, you know, we saw great women athletes in the Olympics, as we always do, but I think they're appreciated maybe even more than they used to be. That's me talking. What's your thought on the state of women's sports, state of women's basketball right now?
I think, like you said, it's as good as it's ever been. I think everyone's been saying it, but you put women's sports on TV and people are going to watch. You know, the exposure is better than it's ever been between television, social media, and there's still room for growth. But, you know, it's been proven time and time again that you put it on television and people will watch, between the Final Fours, the WNBA Finals, and then all the traction that it's gotten on social media and different platforms. So, like you said, if you give people an opportunity and an ability to watch it, people will.
And I think just to have the backing, have support, and I think, you know, if you, like Carly said, if you put it on TV, but if you really truly invest and you really work towards something, you know, it can be done. And so it's been a really, you know, interesting, you know, couple years being in it, and then also seeing, you know, from the NCAA tournament last year, and obviously we're seeing some traction on making things, you know, a little more, you know, I guess equitable as far as like March Madness and things like that go. But, you know, we all saw it. We all saw some of the, you know, disparities or however you want to say it. So it's there's no doubt it's an exciting time to be a part of women's athletics and women's sports. And this year's the 50th anniversary of Title IX. We have the Final Four here in Minnesota, in downtown Minneapolis, a place that I couldn't think of a better place to have the Final Four in this anniversary of Title IX. And we know that we're here because there's been so many pioneers that have come before us. And it's so, my generation of the WNBA, hopefully that propels to more, financial backing, expansion, things like that. Hopefully that we just continue to make it better and better. And so, like I said, with how, when I played here at the U, with how we were supported so well, with the links, how we were supported so well right here in downtown, I think it's going to be a great event to have the Final Four here. So, like I said, I couldn't think of a better city that that has supported women's sports more than Minnesota and the state of Minnesota. So so it should be a lot of fun, that the event. And like I said, it's a fun time to be a part of women's sports. We're seeing a lot of breakthroughs and a lot of really good things.
I thought it was also very noticeable, at least on social media and among people I talked to, that as the WNBA playoffs were going on this year, it was like everybody was begging for pregame and postgame shows, and everybody's begging for better time slots. And we talked about it earlier. I thought, God, if the Lynx is going to have one home playoff game, it shouldn't be opposite a Vikings game. Baseball doesn't even compete well with football. You shouldn't put a growing sport up against it. So I feel like there are all these little tweaks that could make a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think I think league expansion, and then I think playoff expansion, yep, as well for the WNBA. I think that having that where it's, it's tough because there's, the season with overseas and things. I'm kind of outside looking in now, but at some point we got to stop talking about a great game five and talk about a game seven, And so I think there's so many areas that we can continue to expand. And I think right now there's 12 teams. I know it's coming, and I know it takes a lot more than just saying it, but there's so much talent that more teams, more longer playoff series, I think, and it's coming. It's just, we can see, it's when you watch the games, it's pretty obvious that stuff should be coming. And it just, it just continues to take, people investing and dedicating themselves to it. And I know there's a lot of great people doing that. It's going to be fun to see as it continues to grow.
I think locally one of the hopes is, who knows how Mark Lawyer will do with the Timberwolves, but he does seem very interested in the Lynx and in the fact that the Lynx have been so successful. And I know Cheryl told me at one point, he texted her, why are WNBA salaries so low? In other words, his idea was, this is somebody who invests in things first and grows them, yeah, which needs to be you can't sit around waiting for it to make money. You need to invest in it and grow it. And if you have owners with that attitude, things could happen pretty quickly.
Yeah. It's there's no question. I'm sure he likes walking in to the arena and seeing banners up there. That always helps, And so when you have a winning product, there's no question. So I'm excited. I'm excited for all of what you mentioned.
Cheryl also said that we should speak into existence that the Gophers will be in the Final Four in Minneapolis.
That would, yeah, that, hey, it's obviously, that's everyone's dream. It's everyone's goal. That's everybody's to be able to do that. It's, both Carly and I have gotten to do it. She took it one step further and got all the way to the finals. But there's no question we're working for it every day, and it's something that we don't talk about it a lot because we're just focused on what we're doing right now, and we're at such a crucial part of our season, kind of finishing out our training camp here with our exhibition game on Sunday. But yeah, there's no question that it's here. It's been something that we've talked about and thought about a lot, and we're working for it every day, no question.
So I'm going to give each of you a chance to offer a final thought on any topic you want. I mean, anything, throw out anything. I'm going to do a few thank yous here. We do want to thank, again, our producer, Brandon Morton, who holds all this together, all of our sponsors who have helped Talk North grow. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Talk North Pod to see all the show times and see all the shows as they are released. Best way to listen to this show or any show on the network is subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Cheryl will be back next week, and we will be setting up a live show for Cheryl here at the Downtown Pizza Luce sometime in November. Reminder, pizzaluce.com, the downtown location. They have the butternut squash pizza back. They are hiring kitchen managers, restaurant managers. They're offering bonuses. You already know the pizza's great, the food's great, the hang is great. So please support Pizza Luce whenever you can. Carly, you got a final thought for me?
Yeah, I think you kind of talked a little bit about the state of women's sports, and I just kind of wanted to add on, you know, I truly believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. And, you know, for me, Lindsay was one of those people for me to see somebody as a professional women's athlete. And that was, I mean, that what you're talking about 17, 18 years ago. Same thing, it was the first time that I'd seen a female coach before in a professional manner. And so I just think it's so important what you guys are doing. You know, what there's so many people across the media outlets that are doing amazing things to lift up women's sports and women in sports. And I think, you know, you cannot put a price on who you're impacting and whose lives you're changing because of that. And you know, that's, Lindsay did that for me, other coaches that she played for my dad. My dad had female assistants. You know, you just cannot undervalue those people and the roles that they play in young people.
I'll interrupt before Lindsay's final thought. I also wanted to get to something else. Are we going to see a women's NBA head coach soon? And if so, who do you think it might be?
I hope so.
Ooh. I mean,
Becky's been in the pole position for a while.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, yes, I think so. I mean, when, it's hard to say. And like you said, I think Becky Hammon, you know, coaching with the Spurs forever, obviously a great organization. I do. I mean, Coach T might actually know more, you know, on that, you know, being at the professional ranks for so long. But that's definitely, it's trending. It's trending that way. And I think there's, I mean, there's women amongst several staffs in the NBA now. I know Christy Tolliver's with the Mavericks. Barbara Turner is with the Houston Rockets. We have, obviously, Becky is, I want to say, I know Lindsay Harding was with the Raptors for a time. I know I'm missing a few. So can you think of any? Okay. I know there's a lot of Teresa Weatherspoon is with the Pelicans, and I know Swin Cash is in their front office. Asia Jones is in the front office with the Portland Trailblazers. So it's going to happen because it's just, but now we're seeing more opportunities, and then eventually there'll be a breakthrough. I think. I don't know. What do you think, Coach? You think so? I think that there will be. I mean, I don't know.
Just take somebody to give them an opportunity.
What's interesting is it seemed like Cheryl was the number one candidate for that, and then she becomes the general manager. And it's feel, you know, even though Cheryl and I, obviously, she just never comes out and talks about it bluntly, it just feels like she's just settled in here.
Yeah. I don't know. She could.
I mean,
there's
she
no
could,
question.
There's no doubt
there's
she
no
could
question.
Do it.
There's no question she
the question
could.
Is does she view herself as the person who should break that barrier, I guess? She'd be great at it.
Yeah, there's no question she could. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Time will tell. It's, I don't know. I mean, I've witnessed the NBA from, you know, at Mayo Clinic Square, right, and did a few games with, at the time, FSN, and kind of got to see a little bit of that world. And it's a different thing, but I think eventually, I think we will. What do you think?
I don't know. It's so hard to predict when the dam's going to break.
Yeah.
It feels like to me Becky's going to be the first, and it should happen soon, but I don't have a lot of confidence it's going to happen soon. It just should happen soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're kind of in that area right now, for sure.
And we've seen that, you know, I think the NBA is more evolved than the NFL, but we've seen that in the NFL where, you know, effort after effort is made to present minority candidates, but how many of them actually get hired, and then how many of them actually get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to firing, you know?
Yep.
I mean, there are three black head coaches in the NFL. It's ridiculous.
And speaking, you know, NFL, I know there's some women coaches in the NFL
in different areas.
And I know there's it's kind of, you know, branching out to, you know, to all sports, so which is awesome because there's so many brilliant minds out there that that deserve that opportunity for sure, like Carly said.
Any other final thought from you, Lindsay?
Well, so I think the cool thing about what Carly's doing this weekend is, and I've had some history. My best friend from college, she works for Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, so she's very very passionate. Kim Nelson was her name. Now it's Kim Damlo, married name, and she's worked with CF for maybe 10, 15 years. And so I've gone to the gala here, the gala.
Yes, both were.
Both. Here before, I've done some different, they've got some really cool events here. They've got like a brewer's ball and like a different events that they do. And I know they do some stuff over at the IDS and some different walks and things like that. And so I've gotten to know her, and she's so passionate about her role and about continuing to improve the lives of people with CF and continuing to improve, their life expectancy. And the thing I think with an event like this, and from what I'm no expert by any means, but that when you are donating, when you're giving, the research is what is allowing people to live longer. And so you can literally have an impact like right on Saturday with your donating. If you're able, you can literally have an impact on the research and many people's lives. And so that's just kind of what I've learned throughout the years of, obviously having, Carly and Coach and it being so close to their family. And I, kind of feel like I'm extended family. So I feel passionate about it. And then to have my best friend who works, for CF and just like every day is like working and like improving people's lives. I think you coming to the event Saturday, and even if you can't come, if you donate, if you're able, like you can really directly impact someone's life in a much better way. So I think it'll be great. Hopefully we get the win against Northwestern, and we'll see. Obviously try to go for 4 in a row Big Ten games here now with PJ, and hopefully we keep rowing the boat, which I know we will. But it's going to be a great event, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this and being here. It's great to see you again. I promise it won't be such a long wait to our next time together. Carly, thank you so much, and
thank
you
for
all the good
me.
Work you're doing. And thank you all for being here, and please give our guests a nice round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.